Wednesday, and so today's the day we look at how the words of the Bible challenge and change us in our busy lifestyles. We looked yesterday at Jesus' saying, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." But yesterday we talked about the reasons for persecution, how Jesus says so clearly here that sometimes people will not like you because of Jesus, not because of you. Today Jesus talks about how his followers should react to persecution. And it's surprising a little bit. He doesn't tell his followers to simply grin and bear it, to just put up with it when it happens. But he also doesn't tell them to retaliate with violence or in kind persecuting another. He doesn't say to just sulk and go hide in a corner. It sounds crazy, but believe it or not, he says, "Rejoice and be glad in your suffering." It seems crazy. Why would he say that? Well, he says it's because your reward is great in heaven. Remember, we talked about how bullying and persecution can come from a clash of value systems. When somebody values God's kingdom above all else, it's going to clash with those who value completely different things. And in God's worldview, bullies are powerless, and the persecuted are blessed. And yeah, I know that's different from our worldview today. It's not the world we live in, and that's okay. That's why Jesus had to talk about it, to say that this is God's worldview. Jesus had to make sure that he taught this because the world he was describing wasn't the world in front of us at the time, but it was the world he was bringing about and continues to bring about, and it will be the fullness of our reality upon his return. When his kingdom is fully here on earth, as it is in heaven, God's worldview. Jesus says it twice here, just to really make it clear. It's unusual. It's the only beatitude where he first says it in the third person, "Blessed are those," you know, those people who are persecuted for righteousness. But then he says, "Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness." It seems like he expects this will be par for the course for his followers, that Christians will experience persecution, that it just will happen. He expects they'll experience it, all of them, to one degree or another. You might think that this must be some kind of necessary payment to earn God's love, God's blessing. But he's not saying that here. He's expecting it to be a mark of genuine faith. And he points to the prophets as that example. He says the prophets, way back in the Old Testament, the great heroes of the Jewish faith, he's saying their suffering wasn't something they did to earn God's favor. They had God's favor. They were already playing an important role in God's plan. So it wasn't that they had to earn it. It was rather part of being part of God's plan. Suffering was a genuine mark of their faith, and so it is with followers of Jesus today. Persecution is to be expected. Don't expect that everyone will love you. Don't expect that everyone will love your message. Persecution is a mark of your faith. Well, a question for you to consider before we apply this to our lives tomorrow is, in contrast to rejoicing, what are your more natural reactions to persecution? Have a good discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.